Where are all the good men, Valid? Are you a good woman? Like, yeah, you want the guy with the plane. Let's reverse that. Who is the guy with the plane wanting to choose?
Welcome to Love Stories, a relationship podcast for successful women, where we talk about love, dating, relationships, and how great love stories are made. Whether you're searching for the one, you're madly in love, or simply curious about romantic relationships, this podcast is for you. I'm Charlene Byers. Each week, you'll hear from women, couples, and experts, and all the ins and outs on how to create your own love story. I am so passionate about this subject, and I'm so excited to share all the things that you can apply to create a beautiful love story of your own. Cheers to great love. Welcome back to the Love Story Podcast. I'm your host, Charlene Byers. Well, hello. Okay, I want to talk to you about a conversation that I had with a client of mine. We were talking about the difference between being a strong woman versus an independent woman and how different it is. Because in today's world, we women are bombarded with messages of you do you and you go get yours, date like a man, have sex like a man. Well, we are not men. We are women. And being proud of being a lady, that key lies in the difference between being strong and being independent. A strong woman is a driven woman, a disciplined woman, a woman who sets her goals and works to accomplish them. That is strength. An independent woman can be strong too, but has made the decision that she does not need anyone and can do it all on her own. That is true for goals such as education, career, material things. But that is not true for the matters of the heart. You cannot be an independent woman in a relationship. And independent women are always single women. They have it all except for the man. And because they've made the decision that they don't need a man. But this is the deal. Men want to be needed and help and provide for their woman. The truth is, men and women need one another. And that creates a harmonious relationship between them. So I want you to ask yourself, are you an independent woman or a strong woman? Are you wanting to find your life partner, your husband? Because if that is you and you're wanting to, then allow yourself to be pursued and courted. Allow the man to take care of you in the matters of the heart. And allow yourself to let go of control. We know that a woman can take care of themselves, and a man can too. But we were created for connection, and connection allows vulnerability. That vulnerability allows intimacy through romantic love, and we need one another in the matters of the heart. Let's talk about the tip of the week, which is know your worth. If you're looking to attract the right guy for you, understand who you are and your values. The key piece when it comes to dating and attracting the right man is to not accept partners who do not reflect or appreciate your worth. Do not compromise on your non-negotiables. Do not limit yourself because, remember, never settle. I promise there are amazing men out there. Keep dating and you're going to find them. I'm so excited to introduce my next guest, Hunt Etheridge. Is an award-winning international dating relationship expert with over 15 years experience helping people become the best, most dateable versions of themselves. While the focus of his coaching is making someone more dateable, the lessons learned translate very easily into personal and professional lives. The emphasis is on confidence building, leadership, image and style, conversation skills, creating intimacy, reconnecting with fun, and more. He has been lucky enough to have been featured in over 100 different media outlets, with his favorite being Ally Watch, CNN, The New York Times, Playboy, and GQ. Having been a part of funding of 5+ dating companies, he's now helping bring his expertise to reach train, mentor a new set of love experts at all levels of their careers. His podcast, Hunt for Relationship Science, is available wherever you get your podcast. I love the conversation I had with Hunt and how he talked about what dating is all about and how we need to bring fun into our dating dynamics. With no further ado, Hunt Etheridge.
Well, hello. Hello, Mr. Hunt. I've been so excited to have this conversation with you. And I just want to let you know, before we get started, like I was like, oh, my goodness, I get to interview Hunt today. And what are we? We are an award winning dating relationship expert, TV personality, coach, matchmaker, writer, entrepreneur, husband, father. You name it. So you're the guy that we want to talk to today. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk to you, too. You know, you and I have traded messages and stuff for a while, so I'm glad that we could finally get some time and sit down and have some fun.
Yes, because you know what I love? You and I are all about, relationships and really helping people have some great relationships, right? Like that's what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
So you're definitely, yeah. So I was like, okay, I gotta have Hunt on because we gotta talk about these relationships, we gotta talk about dating. But before we even get in there, just you personally, can you just, tell everyone a little bit about you? I did your bio, but it's not the same. I want to know a little bit about you.
Yeah. So I got into this about 15 years ago from my therapist, actually. She told me the men that come in here are broken and I can fix them, but the thing they want the most is to have a woman by their side. And you know more about this than anybody I've ever met. You need to figure out a way to monetize this in the minute you do, or for all of my patients to you. So that's at least what started the journey on this side. But other than that, I was a dude that was in the audio visual club and chess club and the Model United Nations in high school. So it was not the athletic, popular type of kid. May have spent time in a locker or two. Then in between high school and college, I was an exchange student in France, where I lived for a year with host families and learned the language and went to French.
How old were you at that time?
I was 18.
You're 18. Wow. Yeah. So you lived in the United States and you just took off. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. There were six of us from our class that year that decided to be exchange students. So we had a kind of good connection all around the world. And this was in 1994 to 95, which was about the last year that people actually wrote physical letters. So I've got a stack of actual letters from people all around the world that year before email really took off. So it's a nice thing to be able to have.
Right. So you're this young 18-year-old, dude, traveling, figuring it out. And you said that so what was it like for you with the ladies?
Well, that took some getting used to, because one, I didn't speak the language fully, mostly at all. So all of your humor, all of your flirting, all of your intelligence just gets squashed and it's not there anymore. And you're just kind of smiling and nodding. So it definitely takes a hit on the ego. Then there's part of me that was like, la France, we're going to see these beautiful French girls. And it's not necessarily exactly like that, it's just more mundane and down to earth and the surprisingly conservative culture. But you realize they killed Protestants in their country hundreds of years ago. So it's a very Catholic country. And I remember making out with Anne Claire on New Year's Eve, and then the next day people are like, so you're going out with Anne Claire now? It's like, so that's how this works here?
You're like, okay. You're like, that. Okay.
Right, yeah. I guess I am.
So dating was, that's fascinating. So in, where were you again? Tell me, repeat where you were.
It's called Nantes, about 3 hours west of Paris.
West of Paris. Okay. So that's fascinating. So we're talking about relationships and the culture and dating and all that kind of stuff. But you take, someone that is not from that country, you are going to have a completely different experience. Well, you probably learned a lot.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be, we all have our own weird fantasies about what each country is like and the people in it. Mostly it's just normal people doing their normal things and more similar than not. But Yeah, it was interesting to come from one set of values to another set of values, which is something I actually use a lot in my coaching because I'm in the New York City area, so everybody is from somewhere else. And so, like, for instance, I believe it's, I don't remember if it's Japan or China, has a saying that the nail that stands out gets hammered. So the value system is, and I'm overgeneralizing and oversimplifying, is obedience, don't stand out, don't make waves at all. And then you come to New York City where it's like, hey, pew, 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 I'm walking here. Whoa, Not, it takes it's a completely different set of values. And so not only is their culture trying to figure out the culture whiplash, then you're competing against people in the dating market that have grown up in that set of values their whole life, which is going to be a set of challenges unique to itself.
Right. So then what happens to an 18-year-old young man, when it comes to relationships and love and what he's thinking when he goes off abroad? What was your your mindset of like relationships, and were you like a guy like, I definitely want to get married and meet a woman, or were you more like, I don't even think about all that stuff? I'm just curious, like, what was your experience like?
So almost all of the above, kind of like so. Me and my brothers all graduated high school virgins, so it doesn't mean we did nothing. It just that's all it means, because my parents are still together, still married and still together. So I always had that relationship to look towards and try to emulate. And I wanted to, I was waiting for like the perfect girl to lose my virginity to. And so, yes, maybe somewhat of a naive view, but it's nice to have that view to start that whole relationship with yourself. Then lost my virginity in a youth hostel in the French Alps. Thank you, Kara. And so then I came to, because I was also a little worried about going to college as a virgin because, I was worried I'd just get drunk one night and it'd be in a while and I'd just lose it to some buddy that was in the room. So I'm sort of glad that I kind of got that. I was this wonderful whirlwind romance. We went skinny dipping in Venice and walking down the streets of Paris and drinking in Munich and all sorts of wonderful stuff
Time of
together.
your life.
Time
Time of
of
your
my
life.
life, especially as we all
Yes.
look back at pictures of ourselves, we're like, look freaking amazing, And so then I came back to the States and went to the University of Miami. And I had in my high school, there was 100 students. So I was very small. And there were 75 girls and 25 guys, which sounds great until you remember that all girls always dated up. But what this is to say is you were always who you were a bit in high school, in growing up, because you're with the same people from kindergarten all the way through high school. So it's a little bit hard to for anybody to change, to come out of their shell, to be seen as something different than what they were. Like, oh, that's Lindsay. She farted in third grade. So being able to take some time out of the country, away from that, I was never sort of, I was the geek and dork and, I had to hide my fantasy books and play Dungeons and Dragons. So it wasn't really a
Dungeons
thing.
and Dragons, huh? I can't believe you said Dungeons and Dragons.
Oh yeah.
You brought
So
me back.
yeah.
Oh yeah, those Dungeons and
And this is
Dragons, that
back
was
before fantasy was cool, where you literally had to hide your dragon books or you'd get like picked on or beat up on from like the jocks, pre-Harry Potter days. So all of a sudden, me going to these new locations, people were reacting to me in ways that were different than I had had before.
And do you is that do you think that's because you were just talking about because you did leave?
I think it was, I mean, it's like in high school or something when you've got the kid that moves from out of town in, it's fresh, he's new, no one has any idea who he is, you can be. And so, no one knew anyone who anyone was when you went to college, so everyone could kind of reinvent themselves or whatnot. And I started getting a lot of attention from ladies that I had not had previously. And so I was like, this is not bad, this is nice. And so I was determined to try all the spices and flavors and varieties that life presented to itself. But hopeless romantic. Like, there was parts of me that was wondering that if I would ever get married, and I was a little sappy in my heart, so
When you were, okay, I'm sorry, just something just came to
Oh
me. I
no,
asked you
go,
something.
please.
Okay. When you were in that stage, you get back and you're dating and you're still, so we're about 18, 19, right? That type of age. Okay, cool. And so now you're like, whoa, God, the ladies are the ladies, the ladies, the ladies are liking me. What do you think, looking back now? I don't know if if you can look at that, but looking back now, what do you think it was that they were so interested in you? You think it was your confidence? I mean, you're a good-looking man, but I mean, was it your
Thank you.
confidence? Or, yes, or your con what do you, what was up? What would you think it was?
Two things, I'm guessing. One is, what does confidence come from? It's like not having to worry about what other people are thinking. And so I've always been goofy and silly and not really given a shit about how other people, of course, we're all concerned about how we look to other people. But if I would be silly and do things, or, I found most of the time other people wanted to do those things, I was just the one that did it. And so people, like, whether it's like it's pouring rain outside, it's a thunderstorm, and that hill looks muddy. F it. I'm going out and I'm going to go body surfing down that hill. All of a sudden, I come out and like 5 to 7 people are coming out and I'm completely covered in mud and girls are talking to me. And I'm like, this isn't supposed to necessarily go this way. I don't look great. But it's people that aren't afraid to be themselves a bit.
Yeah,
And
that's what I'm
second of
trying to say.
all,
That's what it sounds like.
I tell the truth. Two, and oh, my therapist says that I have boundary issues and that I have none. And so I'm an oversharer. I'll tell you, but everyone always knows exactly where they stand with me because I don't keep anything. It's just not worth it. It's not worth it, especially in the dating world. Like, the fun of being with someone, anyone, is that they want to be with you, not some version of yourself that you've cultivated and you're lying about just to get some punani. It's so
That's what
I.
it was, huh? That's actually, so that's, I think you just, and that's really what it was. I'm just kind of basing it on what we're talking about. There has to been this, I mean, really, like, that's what we are attracted to. We want to have authenticity, someone that is completely just being themselves. You're not going to be for everyone, obviously, but you were for a lot of women. And when you were dating these women, okay, so you were like, okay, I'm dating these women, I'm having the time of my life. You still said in the back of your head that you're still thinking, I do want to get married long term because I have such a great experience with my
Yeah,
parents,
absolutely.
right?
Before
Okay.
my wife, I had never been in love and I thought I was
Okay.
broken.
You, oh, really? So that's what I was gonna say. So what's going on now? So now you're dating, you're getting all this attention, but you're not like committed to one woman. What was because you didn't want to, or you just weren't finding her? What do you think it was?
I was always open to the idea, and there were some, not really like long relationships, but some relationships of note and people of note along the way. Not just a series of faces or anything like that, but it would frustrate me because I'd find this girl that had everything on paper that I was looking for and was excited, and then we'd have sex and it's like then you just start like I would start to lose my feelings for her, and I didn't want to lose my feelings for her. So, but
Dude,
the head
why
and
did
the
you
heart.
lose your feelings, do you think? What I want people, I want women to, this is really great. This is really great. So we're talking in a man's perspective. Like what happened to you, just in generalization. So you are, like you said, you're a man, you're looking to, be with women, you're not, kind of being open, but really there's this part of you're still, really wanting to find. What was missing, and how did you shift from that being missing to, okay, your wife, who your wife is now, that completely different? Like how did you know? It's a big question.
And I may go end up somewhere, so help me, like, rope me
Okay,
back,
I'll rope you back. I'll rope you back. Okay.
Two things at play, I think. One is, especially when you live in a city like New, I moved to New York City, so I went to the University of Miami, which was a great, fun place to spend time, 4 years, and then came to New York City. And New York City, and in the early aughts, as a young person, was freaking amazing. Like, you have everything you could ever want to find, ask for. And so there was a joie de vivre here in New York City as well, too, where why would I want to stop experiencing everything that the city offers? If I didn't want this, I'd move to Utah. Well, I am here. I want to experience all of this. Plus, jumping a little bit ahead, when I met my wife, like my sexual bucket list, I checked it all off. I'd done it all. So I don't, there's nothing I regret. Oh, I wonder if I had done this or done that or, whatnot. So I had the ability to explore and do and figure out who you like and what you like and how you like it, and all of that stuff. So I felt lucky that I was in a place where I could try it all out. But yes, like you said, I think part of it was the joy that we have in each other's company sometimes speeds along the sexual, physical aspect of stuff, which is fine if that's what you're looking for. But like, so, we would have sex like first dates and stuff like that, which is great, which is fine. Do your thing. But I, since there wasn't necessarily a foundation that was built, then, the post-coital, see, clearly there's nothing to look at. There's just like,
Yeah.
oh, I wonder who
Do
this
you
person
like
is.
what is going on? Do you think that okay, like so talking about dating. Again, and your age, you're younger, you're a young man at the time. And I work with and I know you work with people helping with relationships, dating, the whole gamut, right? And do you think your experience of just being, kind of wild and free and whatever, it's okay. Is how you really were able to start realizing, like, okay, there is a better way to date. There's a way to actually, find someone that's just in alignment. And, like, how did that start later on? When did you realize there was something like that actually helped you to where you're at today? Like, what you actually do today? I want to see that then transition. That's really cool.
So I, loved watching, all of this happen. I loved the dating world. I got some of it too. It's like as a former actor or entertainer, you kind of see like that people just want to be entertained. They want to smile, they want to have fun. And a lot of people take things too seriously, and I didn't. And this would frustrate other men a lot. I would have things throughout, like, cry me a river on my side. But I would have issues with some of my guy friends because we would go out as a group, and everybody would kind of find the one that girl that they wanted to talk to. So one of your boys is like, I'm claiming her. I'm using simplistic language. I'm like, cool. I'm out. And then the girl would get a thing for me and follow me around the bar. And like, a friend would be trying to talk and she'd be like, and then like turn to me and I'm just trying to like brush it off and redirect it, but it's not happening. And then he gets pissed at me and we get in a fight and like he storms off and leaves. And I'm like,
Right. You're like, I didn't do anything, so get over yourself.
but I get it, because men are really concerned about hierarchies within our own social structure. And I would disrupt other people's hierarchies, whether I wanted to or not, sometimes. And then, I leaned into it. Like, let's go see what's in all of the corners of New York City. Did the orgies and, went to like the scenes and got to experience all this stuff. Yeah, I mean, everybody's got their own thing. Like, yeah, it's fun. It's cool. Nothing out there is going to blow your mind that you're like, oh my God, I didn't know this existed. Like, we've been doing the same thing for 10,000 years.
Right,
Like, it's
right,
all
right.
out
You're
there.
like, you know what? Again, I'm dating. I already was a virgin. I already opened that world up for myself, and I really want to see what's out there.
Exactly.
And
So
you
what?
notice
I'm an
because,
educated consumer.
right, but you notice like that there was something there about, you said your confidence and your just kind of wildness that was really attractive to women. But was it attracted to women that wanted to be with you, like, in long term? You know what I mean? Like, were you just a fun guy?
Yeah. Like, you're right. Like, what I put out there, I would receive, which is, at the time, what I wanted to receive. Right, exactly. Sometimes people, like, I can remember a wonderful girl that just moved up from Tennessee and maybe not as familiar with the mores of a sexually progressive, liberated New York City. And while I was still honest with them, doesn't affect the heart. It doesn't, you know, and, you know, would catch feelings in ways and wanted me for themselves. And without trying to be dicks, you know, like, about it, trying to create set boundaries of where I wanted it to be, and they wanted more. And here's the thing too, is like, it's frustrating because I like an aggressive woman, but I also like to work for her, and it's hard doing that battle. And a lot of times liberated women would decide that I was what they wanted, which was great and led to some wonderful memories. But we all value those things that we had to work for more than that is handed to us. And so, yeah, on paper, they may have had everything, but since I didn't see it, want it, strive for it, dream about it, work towards it, achieve it, I don't have any feelings attached to it.
Right. You didn't have feelings. How did it shift?
So
I got to hear this one. This is good. So we already know that you were like, just, you know, kind of, mm-hmm, wild man, having a great time.
Honestly. And then I got frustrated because my guy friends that couldn't do those things would use me and live through me. So we'd be out at a bar and I'm tired. I don't want to do anything. You know, like, oh, the hottest girl in the bar over there. Like, none of us can go talk to her. Go talk to her and see if you can, like, make out with her tonight.
Right. They were using you as their wingman because they didn't have the confidence to do it themselves.
It increases my guy-dom, you know, in their eyes, which is, you know, its own weird thing, you know. And then basically I just realized that I was tired. Nothing I needed to prove to myself. Nothing else I needed to check off. I felt like I had the experiences that I want to have happen.
I want ladies to hear this. Hold on, let me interrupt you for a second. So what I'm hearing him say is, you know, and again, this is just, we're just talking about perspectives and just different personalities, but from a man's perspective in his journey, he was basically saying that, you know, he's a young man and he did have good role models, right? You had good role models with your parents. So in the back of your head, you're like, yes, eventually I do want to, you know, find my person. But in between, I just want you to hear, a lot of times, like, this is very common how, you know, I already told you this. I'm a mother of four boys. My oldest is 33 all the way down. So I get this. So this is very common. That's why I wanted you guys to hear this. This is very common in men. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes they're just like, they're not sure what's going on. They're kind of like more in a, let me just figure it out. Let me meet a whole bunch of women, you know, all that kind of stuff. It doesn't mean
jump off a bridge just to see what will happen.
Yes. Say that. You guys, women, men and women, and I'm going to say it again, we are different, and that's actually okay. That's what makes it fabulous. That's what makes it have that polarity in relationships, because we're not talking today about friendships. We're talking about romantic relationships. So tell the listeners. So you are doing all this. I want to hear the shift. How did you meet your lady? Where was your mindset when you met your lady?
I had heard through the grapevine other men that were my friends say to their friends, like, I wouldn't want to be Hunt. What kind of woman is ever going to be able to stack up, whatever is going to earn?
Right, because you were like the bachelor. You were like the wild, spree.
You know, and this is what I was worrying about too, is that, like, being promiscuous had somehow scarred my psyche in a way that left me broken and unable to find love. You know, these are my listening to Enya smoking Marlboro Lights and having incense burning in a dark room moments, you know, like, I'm unlovable, I will never find love, so crying, you know, shit happens, we do this, guys do these nights too. Then, when I met my wife, I had all of these women to compare her to, and was like, shit, like, This one is different. I better lock her down now because I have all this to compare her to. And I said, when it came to sex, I've tried it blankety blank times this way, and here I am. Just for something different, let's not have sex right at the beginning. So we actually became monogamous before we had sex, just to try something different. Again, we didn't not do anything, but it was good because it's like we went back to high school again. Like it's like, okay, you can touch it but once, or above the waist, no, over the bra, and then so there was always a sexual progression, which I think some men, here's the thing, when it comes to waiting, I think a lot of people hear nothing until everything. Like, hold off on the sex for a month or whatever anybody's, advice is, third date, whatever. And then you have sex. Like, there's a lot to do in between no and everything as well, too.
I
I
agree with you.
know.
Let me just say something. I really actually agree with you, and I want to say this. I truly believe that, I mean, and I'm not saying you totally believe, I believe that if we are looking for our partner, someone to marry, so I help women find their husbands. I don't help women hook up. Anybody can hook up. They don't need me for hooking up. They need me for finding their partner, their life partner. That's the work I'm doing. And so for that to happen, I'm always like, why are we rushing sex? Like, come on. Like, we don't even know who that person is. It takes some time to get to know the person. Why are we rushing sex? Why are we doing that when we should know that as soon as somebody has sex, and let me explain that, the psychology of a woman, our bodies are different. So when a woman has sex with a man, we are already having a bonding with him,
Right, you
regardless if
got
we
the
really are bonding.
oxytocin,
Yes, of course we do. So I'm like, why are we doing that when we really should get to know who that person is without the sex? Save the sex. Stop. Calm down. Like, save that. So you guys did that. That's kind of like
And
naturally what you guys
also, to
did.
put it bluntly, it's not necessarily about the sex, it's just not about having blue balls. And so many men, right or wrong, equate physicality with love. And so if you don't touch them, they do not feel loved. It's not, it's men's got to do their own inner work. It's not your job to, be there, do this for them, but feeling, doing other stuff up until sex, oral, manual, all these different things too, lets him know he's wanted. Lets him know you physically desire him, doesn't have blue balls, and sees that it's going somewhere, both physically and emotionally. And when you can get those going together, you're building the stones of the relationship, building your foundation along with the sexuality. I mean,
Well, look at you did it different with your girl. You did it different with your wife.
I did.
And
I
it
did it
actually,
different
and
with
look
you.
at it's, and you guys are married and it actually worked out because this is the first time that you ever did it like that. So there's something to say about that. That's
Right.
really
And if I
actually important.
hesitate, I don't want to be, throwing rocks at anybody that chooses a different pathway. Because my last serious relationship, we had sex the first night. So everybody's going to find their own way of doing it. But I have found the more time you do wait, the stronger the foundation becomes.
I have too, 100%. 100%. So what happened? You meet now you're in this thing with this lady. Because you guys, this is the best part. So you just heard Hunt and he was just talking about what a wild man he is. Let me tell you, he is such a father, husband. He's adorable. Like, seriously, we went from like wild man. When I was talking to him, when I first did the pre-interview, this is why I was like, I gotta get him on. He's kind of sharing a little bit about his wild side, but I'm like, he's like, but really, let me tell you, I'm a dad. Like, I totally changed the way I look at life and look at things. Talk
Used to
about
be
that.
ecstasy at the clubs on South Beach, and now it's juice boxes at bedtime.
There you go. There you go. See, it's
But I
possible.
think because I was
Absolutely.
able to have these experiences as well too, that I get to, happily close the end of one book, wipe away a tear, and then bring and start a new book. But I can understand for people that may not have ever felt that they got fulfilled. I mean, when I was in my 20s, I was with a lot of women that were not single because whatever was going on in their world was not enough for them. And they found me. And I was a breath of fresh air or whatever it was.
Yes, you were the wild, fun, free spirit man.
Yeah. I never go after. I had no desire to go after. It wasn't a thrill for me or anything like that. I just love all women, and some women were, you know, like, my husband and I have an agreement. Like, sure, that's your lie.
And you weren't, that's their lie, but you weren't in a committed relationship.
No.
You weren't in a relationship, so you could do whatever the hell you want to do.
In my, you know, was it great? No, but it was fun, man. I had hotel rooms and, well, see, and this is, again, this was confusing to me at the beginning because we are told, men, that it's about money and status. Oversimplifying, and, you know, but money and status get you women. So here I am, an unemployed, broke actor, nothing to my name, and I have women, you know, older women, and like buying me food and hotel rooms and clothing and, you know, all of these. I had nothing and they were giving me these things. And I was like, I didn't think it was supposed to work like this. And that's when I just started to realize that obviously there's more to life, more to what we're looking for than the things we hear other people say or looking for. And there's a difference between what you're initially attracted to and what are great secondary characteristics. Like, no one walks in a room and says, that guy looks like a financial whiz. Yeah. But it's a great marriage thing. But still, I think that that's what a lot of guys forget too. It's like, look at all this awesome stuff I have on paper. It's like, yeah, but so? Like, you guys, she going to have fun with you?
Right.
Is she going to look forward to seeing you?
Right. But that's what I want them to hear, because like you went from, you know, just kind of like going with the flow, not being really, you know, intentional, not really like blah, blah, blah. And then you do things different with your wife. Okay. Dating with intentions. You do things with your wife and you realize, how long have you guys been married?
Be 12 years next month.
12 years next month.
But we were together. We met at the end of 06. We met on MySpace. That'll date us.
Oh, there you go. That's okay. You met on MySpace. But so when you now, like, because of such experiences that you've had, and I know that, you know, and what you do for a living, how has that been, like, how do you also now help clients, like, help people shift? Because tell me, who do you work with? Because I know you're a relationship.
Men and women. About 50-50.
Okay, about 50-50. And you are also, are you more in like the relationship coaching? Are you more the matchmaker?
Coaching side of it. I work with lots, all of the matchmakers, but I do the coaching aspect of it.
You do the coaching aspect. Okay. So when you're doing the coaching aspect, and you're talking about dating, like where are your, like what do you kind of explain to people when it comes to dating and like, how to date and how really to find your person? What's your theory on this, Hut? What is it?
Yeah, I've got to write my own notes on this. Like, you know, these are the things that I teach my clients. For instance, this is how to tell stories. There's a whole thing on storytelling. You know, like basically, 80% of what I teach is how to be a better human being. The 20% of it is only the dating aspect of it. How do you find? You meet a person, find their pleasure point, push it, find their pain point, assuage it, find the commonalities, figure out how to bond, create a rapport, create chemistry. Now, whether you ask for a date or whether you ask for a sale, it was the same skill set that got you there. Now, there's stuff, and I love being where I am too, because there's stuff I learn in my relationship that I bring into my coaching, and then stuff I learn in my coaching that I get to bring into my relationship. So it's a wonderful thing that I actually get to bring my work home. Like, I'll be talking at, like, you know, a cocktail party or something like that, and like about my new pet theory on relationships, you know, or something. And my wife's like, wait a minute, was that, were you trying this out on me? I was like, oh, yeah. Absolutely. 100%. That'd work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Yeah. You're like, I am trying it out. So what do you tell people, huh? Like, seriously, what do you tell people when they're like, hey, I'm trying to find the love of my life. I don't have a best time dating. I always end up with not the great guys. Because the majority of our listeners today are single women, and they are definitely very high achieving. So they have their house, their home, their kids, they might have already had like a relationship that just didn't work out, but they really are wanting to find a great guy, huh? Like, they're like, come on, I'm a good woman. How do I get a good guy? How do I date? What are men looking for? How do I do it? What do you say?
Yeah. No problem. We'll fix
where do you start?
Minutes.
Exactly. Where do you start? Just where do they start?
So I get that from my female client. In the simplest terms, when a man comes in, he says, I'm an idiot. Fix me. I'm like, no problem. You are an idiot. Here's all the things you're doing wrong. Here's some tools, concrete things. Do these things. Okay, great. Thank you. Women, on the other hand, whole different beast. Again, which is great. That's why it's wonderful. I think women are the greatest creation on the planet. My job for the women most times, is getting back into the right headspace, mind frame, because people can be cynical. People can be jaded. People can be bitter. And one of the things I ask of all of my clients, I say, don't answer this question, but would you date you? If you're Adonis, you're Aphrodite, walked in the door right now, what do you have that would earn them over everybody else in the room? And because I want them to start thinking about that, because we all do in some sort of a way. What's your competitive advantage if you want to look at it from a marketing standpoint? And I think a lot of, and we're just talking about the women at the moment, like I think a lot of women are in this headspace of either there are no good men, or I need to find a great man. And so, like, you ladies can smell a douchebag a mile away. We can smell desperation a mile away. And here's the thing. For both sexes, the desire to be in a relationship is wonderful, but it can be expressed as desperation, neediness, chasing, clingy. Oh, I want that. Let me go to it. Or that force that can make other people pull back. Whereas becoming the type of person that draws people to you is the focus that I try to work on, because I ask my clients, what is dating supposed to be? What is it supposed to be? And, let's wait for people to decide if they want to be with partners and something like that. And no, it's supposed to be fun. And we lost that. I know it isn't a lot of times. And if I walk into New York City bar and I'm single and I see a perfect 10 model woman standing up against the wall with like resting bitch face, and then over here I see a 6, if you will, doing shots with the bartender, shooting pool, leather jacket on, high-fiving people, what do I say to myself? She looks fun. I want to go find out more about her. I am drawn to her. This, I know what this is all about. You're hot and it's great, but I don't feel like putting time and effort in for this. This is just not worth it.
So, that's fabulous you're saying this. Let me explain something to you. This is perfect. It's such an alignment, you and I. Because when it comes to dating, definitely. Like when I talk to women, when I coach women in doing is really allowing yourself to relax, to enjoy yourself, pay attention to, literally, like you actually said, like your face, like, are you inviting? Are you like a person that is because if you are completely shut down, like there's no man that's going to want, it doesn't matter. You know that. It doesn't matter how pretty someone
don't
is.
Like, no worry one's about what happens tomorrow. Tomorrow will figure itself out. Have fun in the moment. This is a lot of the men's biggest issues is that, again, oversimplifying, overgeneralizing, women are looking too far in the future. They sit down across from someone and they say, could I marry this person? Whoa. They may not even want to marry you. I'm just worried about whether I chose the right place and has the right music. If I think you're looking too far ahead, then I feel you're not having fun in the moment, and that makes me sad. And so the point of a first date is not to go on a checklist of possible marriage. The point of a first date is to have fun and get a second date. That's it. And I think that people,
if you want it, ladies, only if you want it. Listen, right? Let's make sure. So the point of a first date, 100%, that's fabulous. So the point in getting to know someone is to relax, have a good time, have fun, see if there's even something there. Again, we're not talking about platonic. We're talking about romance. Okay. We're not trying to make friends. We're trying to be in a romantic relationship. And I think that was fabulous. So the point is relax, have a good time. But if something's, if you're not feeling it there, that's it. You don't have to go back. You don't know anybody anything. We're just getting to know different people. You just don't. Like, that's the whole time.
There are better ways of doing it that we're not doing well, too. Like, I say that the mix, dating is a mix of biology, sociology, psychology, and anthropology. And okay. So, what's that?
I said, okay, yes.
Yeah. Just to understand what we're doing, we have to understand little bits about these. And, like, looking at sociology, we have accepted that the dating interview is the best way to get to know someone. And it's not. It does not set the stage for chemistry to find us. It feels like an interview. It's not. There's no physicality to it. I'm talking about the classic, say, dinner date where you're across from someone, you know, table, looking them in the eye. Like, it's
not. I have a thing on that. Hunt, I have a thing on that. Like, I always tell people, like, I tell my ladies all the time, if you're going to, like, if you're connecting with a guy and you're going on a date, and you don't know the guy. Let's, you know, you're online and you're connecting with a guy. I mean, tell me what you think about this. And you're connected with a guy. And first of all, you're not going to connect online because you can't get to know anybody. You got to meet him in person. I'm like, don't waste your time on a dinner date. Like, go to a coffee shop. Keep it simple. See if you have some fun. Relax. See if you guys can have some conversation. What's up.
That's it. Yeah.
Yes. Relax. Chill out. Relax.
Because you know what's going through a guy's head. There's the main thing that's going through a guy's head on a date. It's not what most of them think it is. Am I going to go home with her? That's second. First is, oh my God, is she having fun? Is she having fun? Did I choose the right place? Does she like this type of food? Does she like this type of music? I'm not at ease because I'm trying to figure out if you are.
Ladies, listen to that. Ladies, listen. So he just said the first thing. So when you guys are out and you're dating and it's talking about also like having a different perspective and kind of like seeing things also from the man's perspective. And because we as women, we're only worried about ourselves and all the stuff, but they're going through stuff too. They're literally going through stuff too. So he just said it right now. The first thing, usually when a guy's on a date, he wants to make sure, is she having a good time? Like, you know what I mean? Okay, perfect. What's the second?
Yeah, then it's usually, am I going to go home with her? But we shut her and we go to the super ego and we tell that side to shut up. But, you know, it's like, also, I as a man may not be or know how to, I like you. I don't know how to express that, you know? But, you know, putting yourselves in situations where you can see the other person just acting in real life. I like to take my dates to shoot pool because I want to see how they deal with competition. I want to see how they deal with winning. I want to see how they deal with losing. I want to see how they treat the staff. I want to see if they can bust balls. It gives me the ability to go up behind her and help her shoot her, you know, to shoot a combo. I was decent at it, so it showed something that I had some skill at and took some time. And this is going to tell me, Socrates says, I can learn more about a man in an hour of play than in a lifetime of conversation. So take that.
There you go. There you go, ladies. That's what he said. You want to know about these men, you know? Go out there and suggest.
And that's where the men are, by the way. They're out playing polo. You know, they're out playing soccer. You know, they're not
hard. They're not. I tell women, they're like, where are the men? I'm like, go where men go. Like, come on. Like, seriously. Like, see what's going on.
Go to a gun club if that's your thing. And, like, you'll find men. Go to a sports bar during the playoffs. What playoffs? Doesn't matter. There's a playoff of something at any given time.
Proximity, right? Like, go where you can find yourself some
men. And also,
men.
You know, for the classic, where are all the good men? Valid. Are you a good woman? Like, yeah, you want the guy with the plane. Let's reverse that. Who is the guy with the plane wanting to choose?
You know, I have a thing. Yeah, exactly. I have a thing. I'm like, look it. You know, write yourself a list of truly, like, what is it that you are you know, really wanting with another person? Like, how do you want to feel with that person? Like, how do you want them to show up? Are you like, oh, I want a man that's so kind and he's respectful and he knows how to communicate and he's emotionally intelligent? I said, flip the list and make sure you're all that. Like, just seriously, yeah. Like, if you make sure, yep. That's no big deal. Like, if you really, because you're going to attract, I always tell women, I said, men mirror us. That you attract what you're putting out there. So exactly. If you're really putting out there, no, I am more selective. You know, I can have fun. I'll get to know you. Then you're going to start getting different energy. Like, seriously. So you got to put, what is it that you want?
The thing is, a lot of people don't know what their values are.
Right. They got to figure that out.
Yes, because people are interested in their interests, each other's interests, and not in each other's values, because they've never explored that in themselves too. Like, I was poor, and I never want to be poor again. So anytime I have extra money, I put it in a savings account, buy a little CD, because I never want to be poor again, and I want to have money. Great, no problem. I was poor growing up as a child and never had anything. So anytime I have a little bit of extra money, I like to splurge and buy myself a little something and treat myself to show myself that I made it. Also fine, but these two may not go together. And so you need to be, and being able to look across someone at the table and say, what is your relationship with money? It's not going to get the right answer. But if you can be with someone and you also learn the types of conversation, the types of, like, if you want to know if someone has a good they're close with their family, not everybody is. So saying, you know, tell me about your family might lead someone into dark places. But instead, you say, like, you know, what's your favorite holiday? And then you listen. And if you hear, oh, my mom and I used to make 30 dozen cookies for everybody in the neighborhood, like, okay, sounds like they're invested in family. You know, what would you do if you won the lottery after you paid off your bills? I would buy a 2-seater sports car and head down Route 66. Okay, maybe not looking to have a big family.
Maybe he's not looking for a big family. Do you think then, okay, do you think in the sense of, you know, we're dating, all that, we're not asking, you know, we're going to have fun, but we do have to ask better questions. Do you feel that that's a skill, that you can actually learn that?
Yes. Here's the information. I want to know if they have a job. I want to know if they, you know, have a good relationship with their family. I want to know if they have kids. These are legitimate things that you want to know. But how you go about finding them out can be all the difference in the world. If I want to, you know, like the teaching people the right questions. If you say, so where are you from? Very boring. What's your town, hometown known for? Oh, so every once a year, we've got this Christmas Charles Dickens thing. It gets emotions going. It gets your juices flowing. But we are sometimes afraid to delve into our emotional side, because we're worried what the other person's going to think about it. Chances are, they want to do the same thing, and they're worried about how you're going to feel
how
about
you're
it.
Going to, right, how you're going to feel about it. So, ladies, so listen to that. Like, that was, like, think about that. If you are, honestly, you're like, okay, I'm going to slow down a little bit here. I got to kind of, like, see how I'm showing up. Am I actually being fun? Like, what kind of questions am I asking? Like, am I even asking the right questions? There is a way to shift all that. Like, seriously, like, you're not here alone. I mean, it is truly the majority of us. Like, honestly, we don't teach this. I say this practically on every podcast. You know, we don't teach this stuff. We don't teach this stuff, you know? Yep. And some people get it right. Cool. That's awesome.
And men are terrified of women. Not terrified of being physically beaten by them, but terrified of being belittled and emasculated by them in ways that they didn't even know. Like, if you ask a man, like, what are your hobbies? You know what he's not going to tell you? He's not going to tell you about his video game. He's not going to tell you about his anime collection. He's not going to tell you about his licensed figurines. They're not toys. They're licensed figurines. What are you going to do? You're going to make fun of it. Well, so why would he open up and tell you about himself? You know, I try and flip it. I'm like, can you imagine what would happen if a man made fun of a woman's hobby? Like, it would be, but somehow we think it's fun to belittle the things that make men happy sometimes.
Right. No, we're not going to do that for sure. Because we're not, you know what I mean? Let's not do that, ladies. Just like we don't want them to doing that kind of stuff to us. So let me ask you this. So how can women be in your, like, how can people, if they're like listening to you today and they're getting so much nuggets, and they're getting, you know, and they're like, oh, wow, you know, I want to get to know more of Hutt. Like, he has some things to say here. How can they, like, get in your world? Like, what, yeah. how do you help people? Like, how do you work with people?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have my own private clients I work one-on-one with. My company's called Hunt for Advice, huntforadvice.com. I work with basically in packages because, you know, then we get to sit down, we get to work on all sorts of this stuff and get into who you are and get into where you want to be. One of my favorite things to do is I physically take people out into the real world to test, to try, to practice all of these things. Not to meet girls, not to meet guys, to practice being human beings to other human beings out there. And so we'll go to galas and sports bars and dirty pool bars and things like that, just so you can talk to people and learn. And you know, I take people where they need to go, basically. You can find me on Instagram or YouTube, A Quest for Advice. If you go to a matchmaker, I'm probably going to be your coach in any of the matchmakers as well, too. I love what I do. So my tagline is changing the world one smile at a time.
Oh, well, I love what you do because we need you and you're amazing. And this was awesome. Thank you so much for being on today. I would keep you longer. Of course I would. And, you know, maybe I'll bring you. Okay. Yeah. You've got to come back and we'll have more deeper dive discussion because, you know, we only have a certain amount of time. So today I just wanted you to kind of have a different perspective and understand there's ways to do things and there's ways to, you know, learn how to communicate better, ask better questions. Do that for yourself, ladies. Like, seriously, like, just like you invest in other things in your life, invest in your love life. Because the biggest decision, say it.
No, same thing. Like, if I wanted to get healthier, I would make a plan. I would say I have to have less calories coming in. And at night at 5 to 6, I'm going to work out and I'm going to slow down my drinking. If you want to do the same thing for dating, make a plan. Do things differently and really try to achieve it. Don't just let life happen.
Right. You have to have intentions and be intentional what you're going to do. Okay, we're going to leave it there. That is amazing. Well, thank you so much. Till next time, thank you for being on and cheers to great love.
That's a wrap. What a fun conversation I had with Hunt about dating, relationships, how different men and women are. What a personality he is. From his wild years, from fun and adventurous, to loving becoming a husband and a dad. If you're loving this podcast and these incredible conversations, please hit the subscribe button and leave a 5-star review. Don't miss an episode, because each week I'll be bringing on guests and experts who will share their knowledge about love, dating, and relationships so you can apply it into your own life. I'll see you next week. And until then, cheers to great love.